You are listening to Everyday Things, the podcast that talks about relatable things in your everyday life. I'm your host, Noah Hill. On today's show, we'll be talking about housing or houses, so stay tuned for that. So first up, what are houses? I guess, so pretty much, the dictionary defines it as a building, obviously, in which people live, or in other words, a residence for human beings. So a place that we can live. And it's a building. Or does it have to be a building? So, I guess, to really badly define a house, it would have to just be something that gives you shelter. So, could that mean that just basic, even a tree could be considered a house? Because it provides the shelter that a house needs, or that you would usually associate with a house. And it also, I guess, provides some sort of protection. May not be like a person that's going to break in, because they can just walk in, because it's just a tree. There's no walls. So It could very loosely be described as a house, because it provides the shelter, provides a sort of cover for you. So, things that we find around us, can they all be houses? Maybe. I guess so. Well, we... Yeah. So, I guess so. Very loosely, a house just has to be some sort of construct that provides shelter. And I guess an added benefit would be protection or safety. So this sort of is a question of what really is a house. House as we know it, being or living in being citizens, sons, me living in a first world country, I have the privilege of living in what we as human beings have deemed a house. So it has the walls, which every house does or needs. Has the walls, has a roof, and doors, locks, and ways to make sure that we're all safe inside. So that's what you would normally consider to be a house. Some place with walls, a roof, doors and windows. You draw a picture of a house. That's what you draw, even from a super young age. From the time you can draw, if you draw a house, you draw a wonky box with just an angle on top, or a triangle. Then you draw one door right in the center, and then two windows on either side of it, of that door. And so kids from a very young age, they're already starting to learn about what a house is and the normal basic needs that a human should have. So they just, I don't know if little kids are taught this or like they just somehow see it all around them that houses have a door, two windows, or one window, depending on how it is. A door, two windows, a roof, and walls, and a floor. So then if you apply this to other stuff of what is a house, you get something that requires those things. So technically a tree, going back to that silly point, yes, it can be a house, can be considered a house, but according to the natural, almost instinct-like thoughts that little children have, no, it is not a house. But you can make it a house. You just have to get your basic things. So what we said before, walls, doors, and windows. So if you got up some walls, made them out of wood, corrugated iron, just some sort of wall, you built that around, you had a door. I guess even a doorway would suffice. So a door or a doorway and a window or two windows, as many windows as you want. So this all together would make your our society's thought on what a house is. But it's not a house as we would usually say, talk as we would usually think a house to be. And I'll go into that later about what really makes a house a house. So if you are someone that is really busy and you spend most of your day or most of your days throughout the week in the office, at some sort of building, even at school, even if you're just insanely committed and you're allowed to stay there for that long, could you start to consider the buildings around you, every single building, to be a house? We build buildings, we construct them with just one single purpose. To be an office space, to be a studio, to be a house, to, I don't know, be a car park, a shopping centre. And we don't build it with the idea of it being something else, even something else in the future. When we build it, we think of, this building is going to have this purpose forever. Nothing's ever going to happen to it. It just has a single purpose. But if you spend long enough in these buildings, can it become your house? Because the house is a place where you would ideally want to spend most of your time. It's a place where you can relax, where you can learn, do work, whatever you want there. So, and you want to spend most of your time there, and in most cases you do. But if you're spending heaps of time at like an office, can you start to consider that office to be like a second house? Because you're staying there for so long. Plus, as you may be thinking, all these buildings around you have the same qualities or assets that you need to build a very generic or average house. They have the doors, many doors maybe, in fact. Windows, many windows. They have a floor, they have a roof. And they have all the constructs that you need to build a house. So, could you start defining every building you see as a house? Yes and no. As I said, I'll get into that a bit later. It's sort of... the reason I don't think we consider the house, or like houses that we live in, to be a house is because of the way they're built, or for the intention to be residential. So if this can, I guess, be applied for other buildings, like you said earlier, like shopping centres, if they're all of a sudden thought of being used for a completely different purpose, it might seem a bit odd or weird, because it's not being, won't be used for their intention. So you could call a random building a house, but it won't be, because that's not its intention, that's not the intention that it was built to be used for. This is, people have developed this sort of thought that if the building is not a house, doesn't look like a house, is not being used for a house, it cannot be a house. You can go deeper into this and apply it even to humans and to ourselves, or to other products and things that we've made, that you are for this one purpose. The things for this one purpose, and that purpose only. But it's not true. Humans can do many things. We have many talents, many abilities, many things that we're able to do. And I know it's weird to be comparing humans to buildings, because we're completely different. The same thing still applies though. We can do many different things. So can the buildings that we use. That's quite an interesting thought, I think, to like be comparing houses to humans. That's just, it's pretty interesting, because it never really happens. You never hear an animate object, or animate people, being compared to an inanimate object, because of their similarities. But what I'm doing here is I'm just strengthening the point that buildings can be used for other things than what they were made for. Just as long as they have those similar qualities or assets or things that they require, I guess I'll put that in double quotation marks, things they require in order to make them a house. So do we require things to make us people, and to make us different, and to be able to do different things? Absolutely. So that's what houses are, or what makes a house, what defines a house. So the next part, or the next thing we'll be talking about, is why did we even start living in houses? So keep listening for that. So why do we start living in houses? Why do we start living in houses in the first place? Wasn't living outside so convenient? Apparently not, if it's good enough for us to leave. and to go and start building houses. So if you go way back, I guess, to whenever you believe in, I don't want to go into that, but you can either go back millions of years ago when humans came around or when humans were created. But at first, humans didn't have houses. They didn't have these constructs that were readily there for them to use, that were already there, as if someone had already came and given them the things that they need to start a life, or a civilized life even, as we would, I guess, say would be civilized. No, they didn't have a house, they had trees, which is interesting to come back to, because they probably would have considered a tree, especially a really big one, to be a house. So, if their knowledge of what a house is was back then, to possibly be a tree, then how is it not a tree? How is a tree not a house now? I know, that's also another interesting question. But no. So those people back then, they were what we've called nomadic, or they would be moving around a lot. So, because they had to, what nomadic people would do is they would stay in one area, they would hunt around, they would pretty much get to the point where they've depleted all sources of food that they can get, and then they would leave that place and they would go to somewhere else where there was more food, where they were able to keep on living the way that they already were. And so that's how they lived. Over time, they started to develop and invent things, start thinking about all the issues that they face, or that they face. So all the rain, all the other things that come at them, like insects during the night, all these different things, and they, and even a comfortable place to sleep. So they started off with smaller things. They might build themselves a shelter, just a small one, maybe out of sticks and leaves, that you might do nowadays for survival, they did for living, just everyday life. So, and then they kept on thinking, kept on wanting to develop. So, at some point, somewhere around the world, they would have started to make things like tents, what we would now call a tent, because they would be convenient, you could still move them around. They would provide a place for you to live and to sleep and to store things and to provide safety and shelter. And that's what they would use because that was fitting for their way of living. And you know what? What's so similar about all of these things? They all have those same requirements. They have walls, they have a roof, sometimes a roof, the roof is the wall as well. They have the door, they have windows, they have everything you need to build or to be, have a house. Over time, they would, or other, at some point, they would have discovered or thought, this place has to be the best place. We're not leaving because we can, other people can go out further and to get food, and we can just try different things to get more food or water or whatever they wanted. So then they would have tried making solid shelters out of stone and started making bricks and actual wooden logs and all that to actually make stationary houses. But why the switch? Why the switch from nomadic to, I guess we could say very loosely, stationary living? Isn't a nomadic lifestyle better? You might say no. You might say yes. They both have their pros and cons. With nomadic lifestyle, you have, I guess, all this freedom that you can just go wherever you want. You don't have to be attracted back to this one place. It's the one place where everything you own and have is there. Everything you have is you're able to carry. And you're able to go around, get the food that you need for the day, and come back and eat it and use it. So you'd always be having something to do. Which I guess is a problem in our day, where people are saying, I'm bored. My parents hate that. And I guess a lot of people find it annoying when they're bored because they don't like not having anything to do. So, but then living a stationary life allows you to store things for longer, things that you cherish. It allows you to have that one place where you can come back to sleep and to live. So, is it really that different to being nomadic? Yes, pretty much. Yes, it is. You don't. You have like a tent, a small shelter. You're always traveling around, getting food to live day by day. But then living in a stationary lifestyle, I guess we can call it, you have to go out to the shops, which is such an effort. To go out to the shops, you have to get the food. But you have everything that you need just down the street. You don't have to go travelling and put in masses of amounts of effort. Everything's readily available for you. So it's, in some ways, an easier way of living. But it also means that everyone is going to join together. And that's how we get these big suburbs and residential areas and places and cities and places like that. Because everyone lives in this stationary setting and they have everything at their fingertips. They're able to just go down the road and get something. So, why the switch from nomadic to stationary living? I guess it's for safety. Safety is a big thing. You don't have as much safety in a tent or in a small shelter made out of sticks. You have stone, you have sandstone, you have steel. Big, strong, sturdy logs of wood. It's convenient. You have a place where you can come back to. You can store all your things. You can sleep in one place. You don't have to worry about it. So, I guess the reason we've switched is just for added convenience. So, yeah. So, the next point is what makes a house a house, or what makes a home a home? So what makes a house, or what makes a home? Two very different questions. Or you could even add, what makes a house a home? some people might say that a house is a building. As we've discussed before, it's a building built for the purpose of someone living in it. It has your doors, your windows, your roofs, your walls, your floors, all of that, and it makes a house. But then a home, some would consider it, is a place of meeting, of living, of family, love, laughter, happiness, all of this good stuff. So, what makes the house, and the home? Could it be the furniture, the beds, the tables, the chairs, everything that we use? And now lately, with the growing popularity, technology, we're able to just set it down. Or is it the safety of the home? You go out into the world, you are faced with all these hardships, trials, and things that will affect you. But then your home allows you to find a solitude from all of that. It's a place where you can go and gather your thoughts and just relax. It means that, I guess, you're able to have that convenience, as we said before, to go to somewhere, a dedicated place for you to stay, to live, to, I guess, have safety and peace and quiet. Or, /and, is what makes the house a home, the family? Is it yourself and your family, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, or even, I guess, your friends? Is it this group, this interaction, this community that lives? This community is a poor word, but is it this community that makes a house a home? Is it this place where people that live in it are together, enjoying each other's company and having good experiences where they all support each other while living under the same roof? Is that what makes a house a home? I think so, personally. I think that a home is not a home by yourself. Or, well, it is, but you have to have some sort of feeling inside the place, that building, that house, where it feels special to you, where you're able to go there and you think to yourself, this is my place. The place where I can come and I can feel the safety and experience the convenience of this house. And I guess that's pretty much the difference between a house and a home. A place that you can call yours, you can call your own, where you're able to say, this is my place. But can't a house just be the same thing? A house is a home, after all. You could argue no, you could argue yes. A house is a building, a home is a building. They both have the same qualities because they are the same thing. But a house is a vacant building. It's a vacant space. There's nothing there. It's just a house. And so the place where you can call your own and you can have that special attachment to is, or when you move in, you finally hand over the money or the paperwork, whatever you do, and you move in, you have all your stuff there, and you think to yourself, this is my home. In that instant, that one bit of time where you stand there and you think, this is it, this is my new home, then it becomes your home. That's it. It just needs that special feeling, that special attachment to you, as well as the walls, roof, doors, and windows. So the housing in our day is very important, both as a social construct that we've made and as a convenience and safety object for us. And we as human beings have made these houses for us to live in and for us to experience things where what allows us to experience things outside and then come inside to feel relaxed and safe and experience that added convenience. And we as human beings have made this and developed that idea even into our little children, the young ones. And it's something that has continued for many, many years and will continue because it's the most convenient way to live in the world that we're living in, where we just have everything at our fingertips. So housing is important as a human being and living in general for everything said throughout this. Just think over what makes your house yours. What's so special about it? Why do you go home to this place? Why do you call it your home, your place where you can find solitude? I think many people would have the same answers. All my stuff is there. That's pretty much it. All my stuff is there, but we also have family and loved ones there. Things that we cherish are kept or are at our house, and we are drawn back to that because of just who we are as human beings. We are people that want this, I guess, this feeling of attachment to certain things. And that's just about it. Houses are homes. That's the important thing to remember. Homes are not quite houses, but maybe thought to be houses. I'll leave you with that. This has been Everyday Things. Keep a lookout for more episodes and more topics, I guess. And have a good day. Goodbye.